today. Let's start with one word. Basileia. How's that for a word? Basileia. It's very important to us. You probably would believe that it's a Greek word. It's in the New Testament many, many times. It was something Jesus talked about more than anything else. He said it over and over and over again. And I want to let you know about this term. I've talked about it a few times. It's the center of our vineyard theology. But what the term means is, it's actually the word kingdom. I actually didn't have that on there, but the word basileia is kingdom. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is tarrying. It's delayed. He was talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom, in this case, is royal power, kingship, dominion and rule. The rule and reign of God is the kingdom of God. Not to be confused with an actual kingdom, physical, but the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. Of royal power of Jesus as the triumphant Messiah. Of the royal power and dignity conferred on Christians in the Messiah's kingdom. And so, I'm not just showing off Greek. I want you all to not be freaked out if somebody talks to you about any Greek terms in the Bible, because the purest Bible is the one in Greek, and then everyone else from there is interpreting what it says. That's what that word says. That's what God, that's what Jesus was talking about. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God. He's proclaiming it when he says he's come to set the captives free. He's proclaiming it as he's healing, as he's casting out demons. Well, one of the places that the word is strongly used, and you may not think about it, is in the Lord's Prayer. And so what I'd like to do is go phrase by phrase through the Lord's Prayer. Now, it's found two places in the New Testament, the Lord's Prayer is. Matthew 6, Luke 11. They're a little different, but this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Luke is a little different, and I'll get into the differences, but pretty much the same framework. And so what I thought I'd do is break this down. The first phrase is, our Father in heaven. Heaven, if you accept this definition of heaven, is where God dwells. The kingdom of heaven in the Bible is the same as the kingdom of God. Matthew uses kingdom of heaven. Everyone else uses kingdom of God. Same thing. It is where God dwells. Hallowed be your name. I can tell you that the name back in those days was so important. It defined someone much more than just calling him Skip or Junior or something. There was real power. I am, Yahweh, was not spoken by the Jews. Jesus, which is I am saves, is the definition of his name, has power. It has tremendous power to change lives and to set the captives free. It's the centerpiece of this new kingdom of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer. We want the kingdom of God to come to earth, to come down as part of us, to infill and indwell amongst God's people. We rely on God breaking in on us. Again, this is sort of a primary concept of what we believe in. It's why we pray. We're praying for that kingdom to come. We pray for healing. We're praying for deliverance for folks using the name of Jesus. What we're praying for is that God's kingdom would come here. Someday, the city of God, where he dwells, will literally descend and new heaven and new earth will be one. There's a scripture in Revelations 21:2 that says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. I have a book on the last days, the end times. And there are probably 50 different combinations of pre-trib, post-trib, all of those kinds of things. And we can all argue about that and it won't make us in unity. But what I can guarantee you is that God is coming. Jesus is returning. He's coming back to earth to establish the kingdom of God here, a place in which there's no longer tears or sorrow or suffering. There's no longer MS or cancer or vertigo. There's no suffering. And that kingdom is coming to us. And so we see that kingdom breaking in on us. I like this picture. There's a couple I threw on here, but it's like here is where we are: destructiveness, impurity, division, exclusion, selfishness, greed, death, injustice. Not that we ever see any of that stuff. But the kingdom of God is breaking in on it. It's penetrating through our world. The kingdom is here. It's coming now. Jesus said the kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom has the church inside of it, which is the body of Christ, but it's even more than that. It's the envelopment of everything that God has made. And we see that penetration happening. We see that coming in to our lives. We pray because we know that the kingdom of God responds to our prayers and comes in to heal people, to set them free, to give them a new life in Christ, to be born again. So we know that happens. Sadly, though, it doesn't happen perfectly. 1 Corinthians 13 says, now in part, then it will be perfect. That we pray, people are healed. We pray, people aren't healed. Why? What's the difference? Because the kingdom of God is here, but it's not fully here. We're not at a point where it's always going to work when we pray, but we pray because we're obedient, because we do what God says to do, and pray that his power come in. In the vineyard, we call it the already. God is already moving in. He's already making things happen. But there's part that's the not yet. It's not fully here. Jesus has not returned yet. He will, but he hasn't yet. Did I skip something? Oh, yeah, there's the next phrase. Give us today our daily bread is the way we know it. I wrote the word tomorrow in there. Why is that? Well, I'm going to go, this is the last time I'm going to Greek, but the word for that word bread, that word daily, I'm sorry, is, and I can't say it, episiosius, that's probably pretty close. The bread of our necessity, the bread that suffices for each day. is the word daily, our daily bread. Perhaps is the same root word for that. The root word, and again, I wouldn't be able to say that, but it's of time to come on, be at hand, next, following, on the following day. It's interesting that they use the word daily, they use this word in Greek. Everywhere else that I looked in the Bible, the word was hermia, himera, that's what it is, himera, for daily. But in this one place, he uses this word. Theologians have said, what he's saying is that as his kingdom is breaking in, he's saying he's going to give us today's bread, our daily bread, what's sufficient. But he's also going to break in and give us more of that. We're going to get some of tomorrow's bread coming forth today. That the kingdom of God is coming in, and it's coming to do things that some people aren't ready for. But that's what he's doing. He's breaking in on us. He's breaking in on our lives. The already and the not yet. So, last week, I was talking about the motives of our hearts. This next phrase strikes me because we talked about this some then. And forgive us our sins, as we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Whoops, that's a little different. That's the Luke version. I say that for those of us who say the Lord's Prayer, oftentimes maybe I shouldn't accuse anyone, but we kind of water it down a little bit. And what Luke says is, give us our sins, harmatia, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. When I say the Lord's Prayer, I've picked up this. It's hard to change what you normally used to saying. But I find that if I use the normal way I'm used to saying, I rattle through it and it doesn't mean anything. But when I stop and say, forgive me my sins, as I forgive those who are indebted to me. I mean, those who have sinned against me and those who even sort of, I feel like they owe me something. That this scripture is saying it. What it reminds me of is a parable. And the parable is out of Matthew 18, and it's so important I'm actually going to put my glasses on to read it. So I can read those big letters, but I don't want my back to you all this time. So then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. I've seen that as 7 times 72. But therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I will pay it back. Did it change? Oh, you did it. Okay. But he refused. I'll just read this. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what he had done, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Now we'll do it again. This is how my... I'm sorry. Then the servant called... The master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how the Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Then I repeated this, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. That parable, Jesus is trying to get a message across. He's trying to say, do you get it? I am forgiving this much for you so that you can forgive this much back to the people around you. You may feel like it's much bigger than that, but it really isn't. Forgiveness is a key in this kingdom of God, in this life of being set free. The picture I always see is chains being broken, people being set free. When we come to Christ, we ask His forgiveness, and things that have bound us up in our life get broken away. Things that had always caused us problems, things that we just thought we had to live with the rest of our life, are broken free. And finally, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's another one where it says deliver us from evil, like this is some vague. But the actual scripture in Matthew says, deliver us from the evil one. Oh, there isn't really a Satan, is what the world wants to say. It's just this vague general evil. We learned a couple weeks ago that there's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness that's battling. And we want to think we're on neutral ground when we never are. And this is our enemy. So it seems to me that there's this traditional way of saying the Lord's Prayer that comes out, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the one we all know right off the top of our head. The one I propose, the one I try and use in my prayer time, is Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, or if we need it, tomorrow's bread, and forgive us our sins as we have also forgiven those who are even indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then the end, my kingdom of God talk, what we have learned is that the end says, For now is the kingdom, the honor, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God. We seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom come. That's what we rely on. That's what we hang our hats on, is the fact that the kingdom of God is breaking in on us right now. And when we cooperate with God, as Matthew 11:12 says, as the kingdom of God breaks in violently, violent men and women grasp hold of it. And that's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to cooperate with what he's doing, to go after that kingdom life, to pray with and for people, to pray for healing, pray for release from bondage, deliverance, to pray that God would speak his truth into our hearts. And that's what he's calling us to do. If I can have the band back up now. Be aware of it as you're walking, that you're walking through the kingdom of God, breaking in on this, the dark kingdom is this, as the scriptures say, this present evil age is what it's called. And know that we have the kingdom of God with us, us and to provide our strength.
Just thinking of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray that, and he's essentially, he's saying this is the framework for your connection with me. This is this contains every way that you need to pray, every one of those elements that Vic talked about. And our next song is The Well, and I believe that one of the things the Lord says in praying this way is, I have what you need. I have everything that you could possibly need. So come to this.